You may not know his name, but maybe you've heard this tune. That's the finale from Antonin Dvorak's New World Symphony. Starting tonight, the Seattle Symphony Orchestra presents Dvorak's music in a mini-festival. We were curious to learn a little bit more about Dvorak, so we invited one of our favorite classical music guys into the studios, Dave Beck, afternoon music host at Classical King FM and for many years, our colleague here at KUOW. He met up with Marcy Silman.
Dave Beck, great to see you.
Nice to see you.
The symphony opened its season with a program of French music, and then Ludovic Morlot, music director, sort of leaps right from France into gutsy Central Europe.
Yeah.
Dvorak. People maybe know that name, but who was this guy?
Well, his dates, 1841 to 1904. He was a country boy. One of the favorite facts people like to say about Antonin Dvorak is he was the son of the village butcher in a little town outside of Prague. So he was kind of hick from the sticks, if you want to put it in the crassest terms possible. But he, largely through the championship of Brahms, helped to develop the sound that fused Eastern European folk music and older classical traditions and became quite famous for that.
What's his connection to the United States in general? Did he live here?
Yes, he lived here for 3 years in the early 1890s. He was brought over here to New York City to supposedly begin a school of American music, a national school of American music. They thought that he was the man to do that. Their first choice, actually, was Sibelius, but he was not available. So Dvorak came over and worked at this conservatory in New York and worked with a lot of African-American students. And the idea was to develop folk materials in the United States that could become a national symphonic and operatic, that never panned out, but national sound.
Oh, let me walk you back, because this is a guy, as you said, from the sticks of who knows what they called it, the Czech Republic these days. Why would you bring him over to start a school of American music?
Well, because in some ways, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, American music in classical circles was basically just a carbon copies of what was going on in Europe. And you know, it was very Germanic, and you know, the symphony orchestras in those days, and some would say still do, you know, look excessively to Europe. But the idea was, what do we develop here? What kind of homegrown music can we create? And they were looking to Dvorak for help with that.
I'm talking to Dave Beck. He's on King FM these days, but for many years you knew him as one of the beloved voices on KUOW. Here's Dvorak. A lot of people maybe have heard of the New World Symphony,
yes,
which is probably his most famous work. But what attracts Ludovic Morlot of the Seattle Symphony to this guy?
Mm-hmm. Well, his executive director, Simon Woods, who's a big record producer, says Ludovic has an incredible flair for Slavic music. And that's true. If you look at the programs, there's a lot of Tchaikovsky on his programs. And I think Ludovic talks about he loves authentic, innovative voices, the kind of music that you can hear just a few bars and know that's Dvorak, that's Tchaikovsky, that's John Luther Adams. He's attracted to that music across the board and really taps into the Slavic soul. And Dvorak, of course, represents that.
I don't think of the Pacific Northwest as particularly a Slavic place. So I can think of some of the Scandinavian composers,
yes,
having a more maybe natural tie to, mm-hmm, a vast majority of people whose ethnic heritage is from that part of the world. What kinds of ties might he have with us?
I hear it in the sense of landscape in his music. Dvorak, when he came to the United States, he lived in Manhattan, but he spent a couple summers in Spillville, Iowa, you know, on the Turkey River in this bucolic Midwestern countryside. And there's this sense of place, of birds singing, of beautiful countryside that permeates his music.
Nature
a big part. And I think that's the connection for me, anyway, to this, our part of the world.
You mentioned a bit earlier that he was brought over to the United States to try to foster an American school to sort of create an American sound. What from America did he incorporate into his music besides bird sound? Do you hear any Americana in it?
I do, though there's endless debate about, you know, what materials was he really using. I do hear little snatches of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, or there is some reflection of Native American culture. He loved to go to gatherings of the Kickapoo when he was in Iowa, and he heard those dances, and you can hear it all. It's sort of part of the seasoning of his music. You hear it when you listen to his American pieces in particular.
You've named a whole list of different songs, but one thing that people point out is that his humoresque has a touch of Stephen
yes.
Foster in it.
He had African-American students in his class. He worked with this slave descendant, a gentleman by the name of Harry Burley, who taught Dvorak all these spirituals and plantation songs. And somehow he came across some Stephen Foster along the way. And his famous humoresque, which you'll hear interposed with the Suwannee River melody, they're the same chord structure, the same, you know, formal layout, and you can play them side by side, as happens on this very old recording, and you can hear how he was very influenced by American song.
Dave, you have played music for many years yourself. What about Dvorak speaks to you or sings to you, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, many will say that the greatest cello concerto in the repertory is the Dvorak Cello Concerto. And it was written in the United States, one of the last things he did before he left in 1895. And one of the most moving parts of that cello concerto is he rewrote it at the very end. He found out that an old girlfriend had died. Actually, the woman who became his sister-in-law. But she passed away when he was finishing up the cello concerto. And he rewrote the entire ending, incorporating a song of his that she loved. And you hear the solo violin play that along with the solo cello. And I think it's that kind of humanity, love of place, love of people, love of teachers. He put it all in his music, and that appeals to me so deeply, all the great cello writing aside.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. It's always a pleasure.
King FM Afternoon Music host Dave Beck speaking with Marcy Silman. The Seattle Symphony's Mini Dvorak Festival starts tonight at Ben Arroyo Hall, and Dave Beck's going to be giving a pre-concert lecture before every show. This is The Record on KUOW.